Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 220. I'm your host, John Senecal. And if you're listening to this music and you're watching this right now, you know that the Yankees are moving on, baby. They are moving on after defeating the Boston Red Sox 2-1 in the Bronx on Thursday night behind Cam Schlittler, baby. Oh, my goodness. What a pitching performance. Holy. Cam Schlittler. Unbelievable. If you watch the game, I know it was an 8:08 start, not the typical 6 p.m. start for us old folks that watch that like that. But if you stayed up and watched that game last night, you were treated to one of the best pitching performances you will ever see, period, let alone in the postseason. And of course, if it was like that, it is one of the best pitching performances. Cam Schlittler is the first pitcher in baseball history to record no walks and 12 Ks in postseason. It's unbelievable. I mean, you're talking about all the big names that pitch in the postseason and complete games and all this other stuff. And he's the first person that's done it. And he was on from the jump, man. I mean, he had it working right from the start. You know, 100 mile an hour fastball. I think he topped out at 101, the fastest, but you know, he established the fastball. They were worried about the fastball. The fastball had some good sink on it. It was moving. And then he could just mix in his breaking pitch here and there. He didn't even use it that much. He had used it once a little bit in the first inning. Then he kind of mixed it in here and there. But man, it was the fastball that dominated, closing things out left and right throughout the game. I mean, really, you know, it was kind of more of just like a pitcher's duel, right? Until the fourth inning, you know, Connelly early was good early, but he wasn't great early, obviously, because it got late early, right? As they say in baseball. In the fourth inning, it kind of all fell apart for him as the Yankees start throwing up some traffic. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at that fourth inning for the Yankees, you know, you figure, you know, the Yankees are the Bronx Bombers, right? They're going to score all their runs on home runs, but not the case, right? You get on base with a bloop double, right? A hustling double by Cody Bellinger where, you know, let's be honest, Sidan Rafaelish probably should have caught that ball. I mean, he is probably one of the best defensive center fielders or outfielders in general in baseball. That's a ball that just gets, you know, hung up there kind of in that little Bermuda triangle with the second baseman, the right fielder and the center fielder, gets a glove on it. But obviously, you know, he'd love to have that back because, of course, that changes the whole complexity of the inning. You know, Stanton walks after that. Rosario, who's in for McMahon at the time, because obviously the left-handed pitcher, Conley, early starting, gets a single, and then Jazz gets a single, and then Volpe gets a single, a seeing eye single, and then Wells knocks a ball off of Nathaniel Lowe, the beer league first baseman, who's actually a really good first baseman, knocks it off his glove, and there you go. There's your four runs right there. And it's small ball. It's a seeing eye single to right field. It's a ball hit off of a glove and it's a ball that drops in the outfield that you're hustling for. And then Rosario's ball that second hit after the walk was just out of a dive, in the hole. at shortstop. So, you know, not huge hits for the Yankees, but it gets the job done. And, you know, it's a reflection of, again, you know, the Red Sox defense lets them down, right? You know, it kind of let them down in the whole series when you think about it, because the turning point in game two is Jaron Duran dropping the ball in left field on Judge's hit. And then this with Rafaela, I mean, yes, hard play, but probably he comes up with that ball normally. And then Nathaniel Lowe, again, kind of an in-between hopper, but still gold glove first baseman. You should be making that play. But again, small ball gets the Yankees there. It's that kind of stuff that's going to win you games. And that's what the Yankees are going to have to keep doing going forward as they face the Blue Jays. But back to the game on Thursday night, game three, once that fourth inning is done and Schlittler is coming back out, you know, he gets two runners on in the fifth. That's pretty much the biggest traffic he gets, you know, because it's Yoshida who, he's the only base runner that he allows. A hit to Yoshida early and a hit to Yoshida. I believe it was in the fifth or in the fourth that he lets another hit to Yoshida, but only five hits overall in the whole game. But he gets some traffic in the fifth and he gets two Ks to get out of it. He gets a runner in the sixth and he gets Ks to get out of it. And then he gets Ks in the seventh to end the seventh with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball to get out of it. And then the eighth, everybody thinks he's done, right? You think he's done in the seventh, but he's pitching well. And kudos to Boone, right? Boone sacks up finally for once and lets his pitcher stay. You know, his pitch count was high. I think he finished with like 112. But you know, the way he looked and just, you know, the flow of the game and how he's ending innings, striking pitchers out. And then, you know, obviously you have a 4-run lead, but of course you're worried about the number of pitches because you're going to need this kid probably at least 4 more starts. Maybe 5 to get through the playoffs. So it's like, you know, it's a taboo thing there. It's a catch 22 for Boone. You know, if you leave him, if you take him out, you know, you got the fans riding you because you did with Fried in game one. So that's great. I'm glad that Boone leaves him in and he comes out for the eighth inning. He K's the first batter, which of course you got the crowd going wild. And then the next play, Ryan McMahon in for defenses, which, you know, the announcers kind of were, you know, skeptical on that because they were thinking, you know, Chapman's going to pitch late in the game and, you know, you want the right-handed batter Rosario up, but Boone goes with on the defense and it pays off because McMahon makes an unbelievable play tumbling into the Red Sox dugout for out number two and the crowd goes wild. And then there's ground ball to Volpe to end the inning and Schlittler walks off the mound and every Red Sox fan in the world knew the game was over right there. There's no way the Red Sox are winning this game. I don't care about your 2004 magic or whatever you got. It's Yankee Stadium. It's coming up to, you're going to get the ninth inning. Schlittler just dominated you. He's pitching baseball history. You just got owned, right? Like you're not going to win this game. So basically the game's over. Bednarz comes in, gets one runner on, then winds up getting the save. And amazing game. You know, this whole series was pretty amazing. You know, game one was great because he has all your, you know, your controversy with Boone taking out Fried and not leaving him in. And of course, you know, not starting Jazz and Jazz looking through 8,000 shirts in his locker with his back to the media, which was a bad look. Ben Rice not starting and, you know, everyone up in arms about how, you know, there's your two hottest left-handed bats. It doesn't matter. You got to have you got Crochet's pitching. You got to have him in there. Of course, then he comes out in game two and Ben Rice has an amazing game and basically is the reason why the Yankees win that game. And then Ben Rice craps the bed in game three. So it's baseball, right? Like as John Sterling would say, it's baseball, Susan. You should have been playing the hot hand. But when I think about it, you know, nobody's hitting Garrett Crochet, right? Lefty or righty. He was dominating, right? That's Garrett Crochet. He's probably going to win the Cy Young. And I really can't fault Boone for that decision. The Jazz is a little questionable because it's Jazz, right? You know you're going to get in Jazz's head because everything gets in Jazz's head. That's just how he is. But the Fried thing, I didn't understand it. He was pitching way too good. Yeah, he had a little bit of traffic here and there, but he was dialed in. He was good. He was doing what he needed to do. He should have came back out and pitched the inning instead of going to the shaky Dreamweaver and the rest of the Yankees bullpen, which you don't know what you're going to get. And then, you know, in game two, everyone's freaking out because Fernando Cruz almost had an aneurysm coming off the mound after Story flew out to deep center field. Listen, it's emotion. You know, some people do it. Some people freak out more. Cam Schlittler just made baseball history and walked off the mound like he just ate a salad at Olive Garden. All right. So it's not like I'm sure he was going through some emotions, but just people are different, right? You know, Aaron Judge doesn't show much emotion. Derek Jeter didn't show much emotion. That's just how people are. Fernando Cruz, he gets emotional about everything. That's just how he is. But it looked like he was going to pop a vessel in his head. Holy cow. And I know Sox fans were going crazy about that. And, you know, Sox fans are going crazy the fact that it's three games at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, that format sucks. And, you know, Dave Portnoy was online bitching about that, not trying to make excuses. But, you know, it sucks. It does suck. But it's better than the stupid one game, one near done series. It's the way to reward the team with a better record. Listen, if the Yankees had their act together, we wouldn't even be doing this right now. The Yankees would have been sitting waiting to see who Toronto and Boston could figure out, a three-game series in Toronto. So at least you didn't have to go north of the border to lose Boston. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to change that. I think it's better. I think it works. It works good. I don't think you could figure out a way to do it with a travel schedule and a game off and in case it rains and then you push in the playoffs all the way. It's already going to be, the final game could be like November 1st or 2nd. So you'd be pushing it like another week, probably. That's not going to happen. What is going to happen is the ABS system. And in this series, you needed it. I mean, there was terrible calls on both sides. I don't care if you're a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan, you got screwed. You got screwed on calls. If you watch the playoffs, there was a really bad call on Xander Bogaerts late in the Cubs Padres series. I think it was in the eighth inning or might even been in the ninth inning. Terrible call, like at least 4 inches below the zone. There was a couple of those in the Yankee game last night, in the final game of the series. So the ABS system is coming. There's going to be the challenge, but you can't use them. You know, you won't be able to use them up. Obviously, you're only going to get two, so you're going to have to use them wisely, but it will help because if they are going to be smart in the postseason, like, and save them till late in the game, you're going to need them because, you know, it's tough. The homes aren't perfect, but you can't be blowing calls in the postseason 4 inches off the plate or below the strike zone. You just can't do it. You can't do it. It's just bad. It's a bad look. What else is a bad look is Stanton pimping that double last night. Oh my God. That was pretty funny, man. He thought he had a home run. All I could think of was, there it goes. Oh, fly ball to the outfield. But, you know, it is what it is. So at least the Yankees came out on top. For us Yankees fans, I know Boston, you guys, you played above the ceiling all season. You should be happy. I know I work here in Boston and, you know, the city got behind the team. You know, it wasn't like Brian said, it wasn't like your tourist game. I know I have my feelings about Fenway Park. There is some excitement about the team. You got some pieces. Your defense needs to get cleaned up. It didn't help that you didn't have Giolito and you lost him. Injuries didn't help you at all. Obviously, Roman Anthony losing him was a huge, huge thing. Speaking of injuries, Bellinger looked like he was hurt. So hopefully he something wrong with his leg or something. Maybe he was just being limping around or whatever. But hopefully he's okay because we're going to definitely need him going forward. And if we plan on beating Toronto and winning the World Series and, or at least making it to the World Series. All right. So that being said, the next round, let's talk about the next round. So you're going to face Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto for the first two games. Game one will be Saturday. That's tomorrow, right? The 4th. Holy cow. That is tomorrow. Oh, wow. Saturday the 4th. And there's no starters announced yet, but the game is a 4 p.m. start. And, I'm guessing he'll probably be Freed against Gausman. That would be my guess. And then probably, I don't know. You're not going to see Berrios. I think he's pitching out of the bullpen unless he's the fourth starter. Bassett, he might be there. Scherzer, you're definitely going to see Scherzer. But the Yankees, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get Freed, Rondon, Schlittler. And then I'm guessing probably Warren, or if it warrants it, maybe Freed can come back. It just depends on how the game stacked. But let's worry about game one first. You know, I think, obviously, I'm going to say the Yankees can beat them, right? The Yankees were the better team going into the playoffs against the Red Sox, and they beat the Red Sox. The Blue Jays have been sitting around for a few days. Sometimes that's a real big detriment to teams. I personally, you know, if just had played baseball in my career and just my life younger, obviously, but knowing how baseball is, it's a repetitive sport and you got to keep doing it, and sitting around and not playing is not good. So hopefully it works in the Yankees' favor and they can roll into Toronto and take care of business. But Toronto's going to be tough, right? That place is going to be rocking. They're hungry for baseball. The home team advantage is going to be something. And they wear you out, right? They are a good team. They can hit. They can hit the ball. They can put the ball in play, and they're not going to chase the ball out of the zone. Their bullpen was very sketchy, has gotten better as of lately. Their starting pitching is good. I mean, they're a pretty complete team. So the Yankees are going to have to do what they've been doing, at least in this series. They played great defense in the series against the Sox. Anthony Volpe has been playing like unbelievable. The cortisone shot is just rejuvenated him. I don't know what the deal is with him, but hopefully it keeps going. And the Yankees need to be aggressive, and they got to use the speed that Cashman went out and got, and what they, you know, with Jazz and Caballero and Bellinger and Volpe, you know, the versatility to take an extra base. They got to do that, and they got to play smart. You can't lay back on your heels. You got to make sure that you're getting the ball into the field fast, and you hope that it just doesn't come up and bite you with Aaron Judge in right field, because I'm going to guess that the Yankees going forward are going to, that's what you're going to see. You are going to see Judge in right field, and you're going to see Stanton as your DH. As far as I can think, I mean, Toronto doesn't have any lefty starters that we should be worried about. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And that's the lineup you should be seeing. You should be seeing Judge. You should be seeing Rice. You should be seeing, I mean, the lineup that you want, the Stantons, the Chisholms, the Grishams, that's what should be in there. So the Yankees need to take care of business in Toronto, and they need to play smart baseball. It's plain and simple. It's going to be a much harder test than Boston, because they have a much better hitting team. That's just plain and simple. Not having Roman Anthony is going to kill them. It just changed their team too much for them to overcome. So I'm going to say it's a 5-game series. This is going to go all five. This is definitely going to go all five. I'm going to say the Yankees take this 3-2. I think the Yankees can win the first game. They will win the first game. They'll lose the second game, and then they'll win 2 in New York. That's what I'm going to say. So hopefully that's that's what happens. Only time will tell. Let's look at the other series. So you got the Cubs. The interesting thing about this first round is all the teams that had the home field advantage advanced, except for the hottest team going into the playoffs, the Cleveland Guardians. They lost to Detroit. So the next round is the Dodgers are traveling to Philadelphia to play the Phillies, and the Cubs will be going to Milwaukee to play the Brewers. The Tigers are going to Seattle to play the Mariners, and obviously the Yanks are going to play the Jays. So we already made our predictions, Brian and I, earlier, last episode of this, so I'm not going to redo my predictions. And I did have the Yankees going through, so I'm going to in my earlier predictions. So I'm going to stick with that, obviously, because like I just said, the Yankees are going to win 3-2. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I really can't think of much else to say about the game last night. I mean, it was a complete dominance by Cam Schlittler. I texted with my buddy, who's a longtime Yankee fan, earlier in the day, and he was like, "Oh, I'm worried about tonight." And I said, "You know, Cam Schlittler, obviously, you can say this about any pitcher. If he's on, they're going to be fine. But the difference with Cam Schlittler is when you can throw pitches 101 miles an hour or close to that the whole game, and then mix in a breaking ball, and you have some run on it. Like I say, if you're on quotation marks, no one's going to hit you. Plain and simple. It doesn't matter if you're the Blue Jays or the Dodgers or whoever. They're just not going to hit you. So that was what the Yankees needed for that final game in the series, and that's what they got. That was the biggest game that kid has ever pitched in his life. It might be the biggest game he ever pitches again in his life, but, you know, like they said in the broadcast, he is not going to have to ever worry about buying a beer in New York ever again as long as he lives. So congratulations to the New York Yankees. Congratulations, Yankees fans. And you've been listening to episode 220 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.